All comments, views, and opinions expressed during the following program do not reflect the views of this station. All topics discussed are meant for educational purposes only. Talk with your doctor before starting any new treatments. Welcome to Tell the Truth Faster, hosted by Stuart Altshuler, marriage and family therapist. Stay tuned to find out how you can open your mind to new possibilities in life.
Welcome to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist from Los Angeles. And every week we deal with issues that have to do with our mental health. Topics each week, you know, cover a lot of different areas. Tonight's topic is going to be about self-esteem. My approach and my focus tends to be more of a holistic one, which basically means body, mind, and spirit. And to me, that means that if we're trying to identify and heal our own issues and our problems, whether it's in therapy or on our own, and we're just working in terms of what we're thinking, in terms of a cognitive approach, and we're not dealing with how the body participates in our life and our issues, and how a higher power, spirit, however you want to define it, how it is also impacted and impacts us, then I think, and my belief is that we're not going to really get that sense of balance that we're all looking for in our lives, at least I think we're all looking for. So on this show, we can talk about spirit, we can talk about higher power, we take a look at how the body interacts with these issues, and tonight's show is no different when it comes to self-esteem issues. I do remind all of you that this is a live call-in show. So if you're outside the Phoenix area, the toll-free number is 1-866-277-5369. 866-277-5369. If you're local in the Phoenix area, it's 602-277-5369. Tonight's topic is something all of us can relate to. All of us have self-esteem. Some of us might identify as having very low self-esteem. Others may identify as having very high self-esteem. But self-esteem exists in all of us. It's basically how it's been programmed. How we think and feel about ourselves is my definition of self-esteem. The Gale Encyclopedia of Psychology says that self-esteem generally discusses, that psychologists tend to discuss self-esteem in two key components: the feeling of being loved and accepted by others, and a sense of competence and mastery in performing tasks and solving problems independently. So in other words, it's impacted or how we define ourselves by how others feel about us and our sense of competence and mastery in our achievements or lack of. Self-esteem is being imprinted from the moment of birth. And many believe, and myself as a rebirther, that even in the womb, we're already getting messages about our self-worth, whether we were wanted or not, whether we were planned or not, whether we're the right sex or not. You know, we have a sense of whether or not we're going to be welcomed when we come out of the womb. And even the newborn knows how he's being handled or she's being handled, is giving them messages already about their self-worth and how loved and appreciated their arrival is or not. So self-esteem is something that's being established very, very early on. Also from the Gale Encyclopedia of Psychology, that they talk about a lot of research that's been going on, particularly in the area of developing self-esteem in children. And a researcher named Martin Seligman claims that in order for children to feel good about themselves, they must feel that they are able to do things well. He claims that trying to shield children from feelings of sadness, frustration, and anxiety when they when they fail, robs them of the motivation to persist in difficult tasks until they succeed. It is precisely such success in the face of difficulties that can truly make them feel good about themselves. And I'm going to repeat that last sentence. It is precisely such success in the face of difficulties that can truly make them feel good about themselves. And I think anybody listening out there can remember a time when you really didn't expect yourself to accomplish something and what it said to you about that when you did. And maybe you even remember a time when you expected to be able to do something and failed at it. And what kind of response did you get from the adults around you? Were you criticized? Were you told how stupid you were or whatever? Or was there that kind of encouragement that says, you know what? All of us, no matter who we are, mom and dad, teachers, everybody makes mistakes. Everybody doesn't achieve everything they set out to do. But what can you learn from it? What did you learn about yourself from that experience? How can you use it to strengthen your resolve? Those sort of questions can either make or break the development of that child. The development of self-esteem in young children is heavily influenced by parental attitudes and behavior. Supportive parental behavior, including the encouragement and praise of mastery, as well as the child's internalization of the parent's own attitudes towards success and failure, are the most powerful factors in the development of self-esteem in early childhood. This is still from the Gale Encyclopedia of Psychology. In later, older children's experiences outside the home, like in school and with peers, become increasingly important in determining self-esteem. And, of course, it makes sense that schools can influence students' self-esteem through their attitudes that they foster through competition, diversity, recognition of achievement in academics, sports, and the arts. And by middle school, friendships may have assumed a more pivotal role in a child's life and also the reinforcement of how they're being perceived by others and how they're translating and interpreting that. And especially around middle school and puberty, social acceptance by a child's peer group plays a major role in developing and maintaining self-esteem. Now, if you look at, last week you talked about coming out gay and lesbian, dealing with those issues. Well, around puberty and middle school and stuff, a gay or lesbian student, a young adult who may already be feeling certain things about themselves, knowing that it's not acceptable or it's not the norm, it's not part of the group, and yet they can't talk about it. Imagine what that must be doing over a period of time in terms of that individual's self-worth, that individual's sense of confidence. And that's not to say every gay and lesbian adolescent is having those kind of problems, but it's frequent enough. And, of course, with the physical and emotional changes that take place in adolescence, there's so many challenges to self-esteem. They talk about here in this article also the contradiction between what boys may experience and what girls may experience. Boys whose growth spurt comes late compare themselves with peers who have matured early and seem more athletic, masculine, and confident. In contrast, early physical maturation can be embarrassing for girls who feel gawky and self-conscious in their newly developed bodies. So, Again, we can see how self-esteem impacts or starts being developed and at each stage in our lives is already causing problems. Again, when you're talking about, I know I'm going to start by talking about maybe what girls may go through, but in terms of weight and body image and things like that, there's so much more put on what a girl has to deal with in growing up in terms of having, you know, a slender body and if she's overweight, the kind of teasing. But from a more personal perspective, I was one of those overweight boys. And I was one of those kids who, people looking at me today would be surprised by that. But By the time I was 16, I was 200 pounds and had a 36.5-inch waist. And that's the way I grew up. And the teasing that I had to deal with, the even within the family, you know, stop eating, get out of the refrigerator, those sort of things that become criticisms and sources of shame and embarrassment impact, again, I know it impacted my own sense of self-worth. And think of what it does to any child, being embarrassed in school by teachers. You know, I've seen teachers, in fact, particularly for boys, the gym teachers making fun of the fat kids along with the other ones, the kids who couldn't climb the rope like myself. It was a real difficult thing that made it very difficult to excel in other ways in school because there was so much fear and anxiety and sense of shame and embarrassment just being there and wondering what the kids are thinking, wondering what the teachers are thinking. So self-esteem is something that obviously even as adults we're still reinforcing. If we have certain belief systems that we are being operating on, like I'm not good enough, I'm not capable, I'm not lovable, all those things that maybe the child or the adolescent established, you also then can see in your own lives how as an adult you're still living out those belief systems. How you may see in a relationship where if you're not feeling lovable and you meet somebody that really, for whatever reason, has fallen in love with you, but you don't get how lovable you are, it's hard to believe that that person is telling you the truth. So what are you going to do? You're either going to push them away because what a fool they must be. You know, you don't want to be in a relationship with a fool, and if you're not lovable and they're loving you, they must be a fool. Or you don't trust them because you don't believe what they're saying to you. So then the trust issues come in. So another reason why you may start pushing them away because you're not believing you're lovable. You're not believing you're good enough. All this stuff plays out in career, in relationships. It affects how we deal with money, our health. Self-esteem, in my opinion, crosses the board. If the belief systems are negative and you're not working on becoming more conscious of what those thoughts and beliefs are so that you can work on the healing of them, they will have a major impact throughout your life and through all areas of your life. Like I said, health, body, your sense of inner peace, your ability to really feel joy and have fun, to love and be loved, your career, all of it will just keep reflecting the same type of experience. And unfortunately, someone telling you to think more positively is not going to change how you feel about yourself. And when we come back, we are going to talk with our guest tonight, Jordana Tiger, about self-esteem and what are some of the ways that we can do some healing here. So stay tuned and we'll be right back.
Tell the truth faster. We'll be right back after this station break. Stuart Altschuler, a licensed practicing psychotherapist since 1974, wants to let you know about his website at www.tellthetruthfaster.com. You will find the resources you need in these areas: self-empowerment, positive thinking, attention deficit disorder, individual and group HIV/AIDS counseling, addictions and compulsive behavior, intimacy and relationships. Get the information you need on these topics and more. Visit www.tellthetruthfaster.com. There's even a place to email Stuart with your questions, comments, and requests for information regarding his work. At www.tellthetruthfaster.com, you can find additional links for groups, organizations, and websites dedicated to help you identify and heal the issues you are experiencing. Visit www.tellthetruthfaster.com today. Tell the Truth Faster is back. Here's Stuart Altshuler.
Welcome back to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler. And tonight's topic is self-esteem. My guest tonight is named Jordana Tiger, who's a marriage and family therapist here in Los Angeles. She's an award-winning public speaker, a contributing author to a number of books, and founder of Awesome Life Coaching, a company specializing in personal development and success, which is kind of interesting because if those of you have been listening regularly, we did a show on coaching with Charlie Siegel in December. So here is somebody who is a licensed psychotherapist as well as a life coach. And that should prove interesting, actually, Jordana. I'd like to know how you combine the two and then talk a little bit about how you're defining self-esteem and how you work with it.
Great. Yeah, I'm happy to be on the show. And, I do therapy and coaching, and I actually keep them separate. So my therapy clients I see in person and my coaching clients are primarily done on the phone with a more action-oriented focus.
Okay.
And so it's separate, but it's fun to do both.
Great. I guess it gives you some diversity and keeps things interesting for you.
Definitely.
Good. Now let's get into self-esteem, because I know that, one of the reasons you're on the show is that you've been a contributing author to a new book called A Guide to Getting It, Self-Esteem.
Right.
Tell me about the book. Tell me about the approach that it takes and how you're dealing with self-esteem issues there.
Okay, yeah, the book, A Guide to Getting It, Self-Esteem, is a book put together actually by 12 life and business coaches, and we all have a different take on self-esteem, so it's kind of interesting because all the chapters are a little different. And my take on self-esteem and the way I work with it with my clients is I focus on being authentic as helping improve self-esteem. I feel it's important to be yourself, and so many people put on facades and try to please other people, and they're not really being who they are. And I think that greatly affects their self-esteem. You know, they don't feel good at all when they're not being themselves. So I work a lot with authenticity and also self-acceptance, accepting who you are as a person, as well as maintaining a level of personal integrity. And what I mean by that is, like, keeping your word to yourself. For instance, like, if you say you're going to go to the gym 3 days a week and you don't go, you're not really keeping your word to yourself or being in integrity with yourself. And I found with so many clients that greatly affects their self-esteem.
And it gives you oneself more material to beat yourself up and criticize yourself, which then impacts the negative self-esteem belief.
Right, then you get on this negative cycle, a down spiral. And so the way I like to look at it is if you accept yourself, you keep your word with yourself, you have integrity, and you're authentic with yourself, all those things combined lead to a higher level of self-esteem. So when I work with clients, which I work a lot of self-esteem issues, that's my focus.
Can you talk a little bit more about what you mean by authenticity?
Authenticity is like honoring your own values and having the courage to stand up for what you believe in and how you feel. A lot of times people don't want to disappoint other people, or they're trying to please other people. And so they're not being who they are. They're not saying, like, for instance, one of my clients, you know, wanted to go see a comedy movie and a friend of hers wanted to go see a horror movie, and she couldn't stand up and say to herself, you know, to her friend, she was afraid of those movies. You know, just simple examples like that. Also, more complex examples such as being gay or lesbian, if you can't feel like you're authentic with people, that eats at your self-esteem. So it covers actually every area of your life. It could be a small example or a big example.
Right. You mentioned about honoring your own values, but I think a lot of people who have self-esteem problems with self-esteem, I think my experience in my own life as well as with clients and friends very often confuse or have difficulty identifying what our own values are so that we can maintain it. I mean, I understand the importance of being able to really get a sense of integrity as a value. But sometimes I think we're spending so much time trying to please mom and dad and other people that we start buying into values and belief systems that we don't really feel inside. So how do you help people get from the stuff that we've bought into that really doesn't work for us to get to the place where we're really identifying that higher voice and that higher consciousness.
Right, and that's interesting because that's one thing that during a coaching intake is I do see the client in person if they live in the same city as me,
mm-hmm.
and we spend like an hour on values right off the bat. You can't coach someone and help them unless I know what their values are. So what I do with them is I take them through a whole process. For example, I ask them, when were the happiest times in your life? Like, what was going on? It could be a period of time or it could be one specific moment. When were you the happiest? And then somebody would give me an example or say something, and then I would try to hone in on to what was underneath that. What was the value in that? And then I also ask them the opposite question. When were you most angry or frustrated by something? Because usually a value is stepped on. And so there's a whole process I take them through. It actually takes an hour to go through. So they're actually tapping into what's important to them and their own core values. And it's such an important process to go through in order to be authentic. You do have to know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
So I have them continually make lists. Whenever they come across something that they're just so excited about, try to tap into what was underneath that.
How do you get people past the fear of maybe finding out that they're not going to like who they find or that they really don't know who they are? Because I know that with new clients very often that's a block for them.
Right. New clients, it is hard. You know, I ask them to write a couple things they like about themselves, and, you know, they really can't have trouble finding anything.
Mm-hmm.
I just start simple things, even if they could pick out one thing, and that's where I come into helping them and coaching them with self-acceptance, because they have to be accepting of who they are, even if it's something that's on the list that they perhaps don't like at the moment. I just help them see that this is who they are, and they need to love and appreciate who they are, and that we are all different, and that if you get them to see, if you get people to see that it doesn't matter what other people think of them, it's more important what they think of them. They tend to loosen up a little and are happier with their own values. Because I think it's such a, that's another thing I work on self-esteem, is try to get people detached from other people's thinking and other people's opinion of them. Because that's huge, as you probably know.
Mm-hmm.
So it all ties together. It just takes a lot of working with people and continually giving them positive affirmations and positive strokes. And I have them as well write a positive affirmation, or many if they can. It's a very difficult process for someone that has low self-esteem to step out of it, but I continually congratulate them. Even if they take one little step forward,
mm-hmm.
that's a huge step for them.
Right.
And I continually give them positive feedback.
Great. And we're going to come back in after this break to talk more with Jordana Tiger on self-esteem. Stay tuned.
Tell the truth faster. We'll be right back after this station break. Stuart Altschuler, a licensed practicing psychotherapist since 1974, wants to let you know about his website at www.tellthetruthfaster.com. You will find the resources you need in these areas: self-empowerment, positive thinking, attention deficit disorder, individual and group HIV/AIDS counseling, addictions and compulsive behavior, intimacy and relationships. Get the information you need on these topics and more. Visit www.tellthetruthfaster.com. There's even a place to email Stuart with your questions, comments, and requests for information regarding his work. At www.tellthetruthfaster.com, you can find additional links for groups, organizations, and websites dedicated to help you identify and heal the issues you are experiencing. Visit www.tellthetruthfaster.com today.
Youth activities can be vital in a young person's life. Sports, music, or just hobbies in general can give your children the opportunity to achieve goals that build the confidence that's needed to say no to drugs and say yes to life. Find out today how to enroll your children in positive adventures that will truly make a difference in their lives. This message is brought to you by Bengal Building and Development of Scottsdale. Expert builders and remodelers of residential and commercial properties, whatever your needs, they have the experience and knowledge to get the job done right. Whether it's Class A offices, medical or dental offices, or retail space, Bengal Building and Development will be committed to making your vision a reality. That's Bengal Building and Development at 480-661-1633. Again, 480-661-1633, serving Scottsdale and the Greater Phoenix area.
What if all the therapies, yogas, spiritual disciplines, counseling, and religions are missing the one thing necessary for releasing us from our own blocks to mature and profound states of mind? The forces of ignorance are the causes of our failures and our sense of personal futility. Join Julie Grable and Pierre Grimes for The Light Show every Wednesday evening at 9 as they reveal the fundamentals of a philosophical method which can assist you to free yourself from the unrecognized patterns of thought and action that block you from realizing your spiritual destiny. The Light Show, Wednesday nights at 9, only on AM 1100 KFNX.
I'm Daniel Radcliffe. You may know me as Harry Potter in the movie Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. Magical powers may have changed my life in that movie, but reading casts a spell on me every day. Getting lost in a good book can spark a kid's imagination, take him to a faraway land, or lead her on a wild adventure. Just look at what it did for Harry Potter. Parents, talk to your kids' teachers about available book lists, school book clubs, or log on to scholastic.com for more leads on Goodreads. A public service message from Read for 2002, a literacy campaign of Scholastic Book Clubs.
Here's your current Hot Talk 1100 KFNX weather forecast, heard at the top and bottom of every hour.
Hi, it's Imus. Listen to Imus in the Morning from 5 to 9 a.m. and Tom Likas from 4 to 8 p.m. here on Hot Talk 1100 KFNX.
Tell the Truth Faster is back. Here's Stuart Altshuler.
Welcome back to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler, and tonight's topic is self-esteem. And my guest tonight is Jordana Tigre, also a marriage and family therapist from Los Angeles and a life coach. And if you want to know more about Jordana, actually, she has a website called awesomelifecoaching.com, right?
Right, awesomelifecoaching.com.
Great. So you can always either email her or just find out more about what she's doing. And I know that it's also a way for people to buy the book that we mentioned earlier, A Guide to Getting It, Self-Esteem.
Right. They can contact me at jtcoaching@aol.com.
Great. Now, in one of the things that have been a part of my life in terms of workshops and trainings and even my training as a rebirther has been Sandra Ray's material in terms of the loving relationships training. And in there, they actually do a section on self-esteem. Mm-hmm. From a metaphysical approach. And one of the things that they say in the training is one of the metaphysical laws is that people treat you the way you treat yourself.
Right.
And in other words, if you treat yourself as if you're a piece of garbage, people are going to treat you as a piece of garbage. And you start saying, well, why does everybody keep treating me this way? You know, you're putting it out there. It's what you're getting back. And those are the type of relationships you're going to end up attracting. So if you're thinking highly about yourself, people will join that thinking with you more than likely.
Right, and that's where self-care comes in. I think you need to take care of yourself. You know, if you want to eat right and exercise and do things that make you feel good, so you're learning to love yourself, actually. And then other people can love you back.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a lot of work, but I think that the higher level people strive to be and they act as if they're feeling great about themselves. That helps them too. A lot of it's their attitude.
Right.
And being positive.
Mm-hmm. I mean, one of my other teachers is Louise Hay, and I've been doing the Hayride for about 10 years now, the support group she started a long time ago for people with HIV.
Right.
And, you know, it's her teaching is very, you know, basic metaphysics 101. You know, learn to love yourself, and when you learn to love yourself, a lot of things get healed on a lot of levels, whether it's physical healing, emotional healing, spiritual healing, but at least that no matter what's going on in one's life, you're finding a different level of peace.
Right, and she teaches you to look in the mirror and say positive affirmations to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I've been to some of her stuff years ago, and I at first, long time ago, I thought, that's ridiculous. And then I personally would do all the work, and it was amazing the change.
Mm-hmm.
I really believe in all the stuff that she says and just being positive and doing the affirmations and looking in the mirror
mm-hmm.
and saying nice things to yourself.
I know.
A lot of clients rebel against doing that at first, but it's interesting if they continue to do that, they always report back that it helps them.
Right. A lot of people think, oh, this is corny or this
is
silly, you know, that sort of thing. And the thing is, you're alone in the bathroom in front of the mirror. Nobody's there criticizing you. But again, there's that self-talk. What would people think if they saw me doing this?
Right. And well, Louise says you're not going to even believe it at first. You just keep saying these things to yourself and you won't believe it. And I tell my clients, you're going to say all these nice things to yourself, and you're not going to believe it. But I guarantee you, if you do that for months and months and months, you're really going to start to believe it.
Mm-hmm.
And they report back that, oh, yeah, you were right. But it's a risk to try something new.
Well, the whole point of using affirmations is it's a statement you don't believe anyway.
Right.
It's the place you're trying to move into. And Sandra Ray also talks about the response column, and that when you're writing affirmations, to actually write down the argument that starts going on in your head each time you write it.
Right, or they have the thought stopping, I think they call it. If you're thinking something negative, you're supposed to say stop out loud right away and then replace it with a positive thought.
Right.
So I kind of work with people on that as well.
Mm-hmm.
All these little tricks of the trade.
Right.
And if people are willing to take the risk, which is in the book, they actually talk about one chapter. A woman focuses completely on taking risks as an avenue to self-esteem.
Right. You mentioned a little bit about your own practice in terms of working on your self-esteem. And, I mean, I like to put my guests on the spot a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Can you tell us a little bit of your own story of, you know, how you identified some of the blocks to self-love and where your self-esteem seemed to get stuck and what you did about it when you identified it, if you don't mind.
Yeah, I have a few things. One is, first of all, realizing that I was a lesbian as a youngster and living in a straight, you know, kind of place. And so I felt really bad about myself. And then once I accepted my sexuality, that helped me come out of my shell a little bit. Also, just worrying about what other people would think of me in general, speaking up in a group. I used to have trouble with that. And so I had to work on positive affirmations and just not worrying so much about what people would think of me and just realize that I'm a good person just for who I am, and it doesn't really matter if somebody else likes me or not. As long as I like myself, that's the main thing.
And was it basically that kind of self-talk and that kind of phrasing and stuff like that that really helped you shift, or were there other things that you did for yourself over time?
I think just a lot of the self-talk worked for me, and I think just slowly accomplishing things in my life. I think when people are doing things, they find their own unique kind of strengths and talents, and they work with that. And so I just, everything I've kind of set out to do, I seem to have accomplished, and so that kind of built some of my self-esteem up.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of it was self-talk. One thing that I learned, a saying that I always use with my clients, too, is what other people think of me is none of my business.
Right. It's the title of a book somebody wrote, too, isn't it?
I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, I think so. I think there's a book out with that title, too. But it's,
yeah.
It's a phrase that goes back a ways, too. I like that one.
Yeah, that one, for some reason, is I used to have it posted up all over my house.
Mm-hmm.
And then it would help me because then I knew I was a good person right along, but I always worried for some reason, I don't know where I got that about, what other people think of me, I'm sure from, you know, past childhood stuff or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I think now that I learn about self-care and taking care of myself, and it just took me years and years, of course, to develop this, but it's an amazing unfolding.
But you have to start somewhere.
You have to start
somewhere. Right.
You do.
What are some of the other self-care things that work for you or that you advise your clients?
I advise my clients, a lot of it is just basic stuff. It's like, you know, when you say you're going to get up in the morning, you get up, maybe you do exercises or maybe read a little meditation or a spiritual book or read anything just so you're learning something. Eating correctly and talking to people, I think connections. I think a lot of clients or people tend to isolate. I think if you're out there trying to make some friends and just being outgoing, joining some groups or hobbies, being involved.
Mm-hmm.
I think being involved in relationships with other people, just club hobbies or group hobbies or friends,
mm-hmm.
Work relationships, all of that, just a little bit of all of it and pushing yourself. I think doing something that you're afraid of and taking that chance and stepping out and doing something different. That's a great self-esteem builder.
And I think what you just said, even though it was just a small piece of what you said, to do it a little bit at a time, because for some of us that have really been blocked for most of our lives, you know, saying go out and meet people and you know, do things that, you know, that you're not used to doing. I mean, that in itself can be terrorizing to certain people just to think about, but it's about saying, this is my goal. I want to meet six people in the next 6 months that are new to my life, that have something new to offer me, that are not full of drama and trauma in their lives.
Right.
And work with a therapist or work with somebody that helps you identify, okay, what scares me about that? What might be a first step to do that?
Exactly. You have to, like, set a goal and almost work backwards from it.
Mm-hmm.
I have people set goals in every area of their life, like
mm-hmm.
health, career, business, friends, relationship, fun, spiritual goals, and then we work backwards.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what do you think you can accomplish, like, this week? What would be one small step towards? I have them rate themselves on a scale from 1 to 10 in each area, with, like, 10 being the highest level of satisfaction that they have.
Mm-hmm.
And so they start off as a 6. And I say, okay, what would it take to get to a 10? And then what can you do one little thing this week that will make you move forward? And they might not accomplish the goal for 3 months or 6 months or a year. It depends on what the goal is.
Right.
But I just try to have them take one small action step forward.
And that's the important part, because some people that are listening to this, again, it's so overwhelming to think that we're stuck, we're not happy with our lives, and a lot of people don't even get into therapy because they feel so overwhelmed by what they think is going to be just too much work that they'll never be able to accomplish. But it is about the small steps, little steps, and sometimes just picking up the phone to make an appointment to see a therapist is that small step.
Exactly, and that's to them, that's a huge step,
yeah.
So that's great.
Yeah.
No.
So we'll be back after this break talking with Jordana Tiger about self-esteem.
Tell the truth faster. We'll be right back after this station break.
Stuart Altschuler, a licensed practicing psychotherapist since 1974, wants to let you know about his website at www.tellthetruthfaster.com. You will find the resources you need in these areas: self-empowerment, positive thinking, attention deficit disorder, individual and group HIV/AIDS counseling, addictions and compulsive behavior, intimacy and relationships. Get the information you need on these topics and more. Visit www.tellthetruthfaster.com. There's even a place to email Stuart with your questions, comments, and requests for information regarding his work. At www.tellthetruthfaster.com, you can find additional links for groups, organizations, and websites dedicated to help you identify and heal the issues you are experiencing. Visit www.tellthetruthfaster.com today.
World's greatest basketball experience as the World Tour sponsor Burger King presents the Harlem Globetrotters. It's an experience that will stay with you forever. The men in red, white, and blue, the winningest team in basketball, are national treasures, having played in more than 21,000 games, 115 countries, and in front of 120 million people. It's a nonstop party of game and fame with mad skills, fantastic fun, and millions of laughs and memories. An event you'll never forget. Get your tickets now and be there to enjoy the Harlem Globetrotters. Unforgettable.
One night only at America West Arena, appearing Thursday, February 7th at 7 p.m. Tickets available at the arena box office or order online at Ticketmaster.com.
Gain insights into the everyday challenges of your life. Insights for Your Life, The Paranormal Explored, is a show dedicated to assisting you into physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual fulfillment. Your hosts, Keith and Charme Amber, will be dispensing enlightening knowledge on subjects such as pre-birth contracts and body language as a spiritual tool. There will even be spontaneous on-air healings. Insights for Your Life, The Paranormal Explored, every Friday afternoon at 2 on AM 1100 KFNX.
What's up? This is Warren G, you know what I'm saying? I'm here giving it up for Rad because they do a lot of good things for people. And I just want to say, before you drink, make sure that you got somebody that can drive your butt home. So go ahead and follow the rules, and everything will be cool. And don't be no fools. Peace, baby, Warren G.
A reminder that friends don't let friends drive drunk. A public service message brought to you by the Ad Council, U.S. Department of Transportation, National Association of Broadcasters, and Rad.
Talk to our expert hosts. In the Phoenix area, call 602-277-KFNX. Outside the Phoenix area, call toll-free 866-277-KFNX.
Tell the Truth Faster is back. Here's Stuart Altshuler.
Welcome back to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler, and tonight's topic is self-esteem. Creating a high level of self-love in order to heal one's life. And my guest tonight is Jordana Tiger, who's a therapist and a life coach from Los Angeles. During the break, Jordana and I were talking actually about my ADD. And Jordana says that she does a lot of coaching, especially around self-esteem issues with adults with ADD, as I do also after being diagnosed 7 years ago with it. But I see so clearly how having ADD, especially undiagnosed ADD as a kid and a teenager and college years and young adult, I was 45 years old when it was diagnosed and, you know, I'm 52 now. I could see how the ADD and that sense of hopelessness and feeling stuck all the time and feeling like everyone else is able to do stuff I can't do really was a big part of my own lack of confidence, self-esteem, you know, all that negative stuff. What do you do with adults with ADD that you work with?
Yeah, the first thing I do is I work with them on accepting their diagnosis. Mm-hmm. A lot of people will call me right after they're diagnosed.
Mm-hmm.
Is accepting the fact that they have this condition, ADD, and I try to get them to be gentle on themselves and easy on themselves, because I think that's something that I've come across, that there's ADD clients are so hard on themselves.
Mm-hmm. And that's the conditioning I'm talking about. We've been hard on ourselves early on without knowing why.
Right.
And to me, knowing I had ADD was such a relief to finally have that. So the acceptance wasn't hard. It was how do you heal what goes on after that?
Oh, yeah. Well, I get them to do this work on perspectives. I get them to look at different attitudes that they can have about, you know, the, maybe their procrastination or organization. I have them to try to put it in some kind of positive frame of mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I also work with them just a lot on structuring out their day and their time.
So they start feeling those little accomplishments each day instead of feeling overwhelmed and nothing's getting done.
Right. Again, it's breaking things down into very small tasks. And then they find a way to reward themselves when they accomplish something small.
Mm-hmm. In what ways? What kind of rewards do you see people using?
I have to find out what works best for them. I mean, you know, if they're going to work on a 15-minute break, like they'll work for 15 minutes and then maybe they'll go do something for 5 minutes that they like, or read something that they actually like to read, or, you know, it depends on the client. I get them to figure out what they want. Maybe at the end of the week, they'll take themselves to a movie. It's, again, it's individual because
mm-hmm.
everyone likes something different.
Right.
So I kind of have them do like a self-assessment on what they like to do, what kind of rewards they want. But it's about staying positive and having a good attitude about everything. And in coaching, I'm there to support them, so I'm constantly telling them what a great job they're doing and how proud I am of them. And
mm-hmm.
it's just wonderful that they're taking this chance and this risk, whatever it is. And so they feel supported. They feel like someone's on their team.
Right.
I think that's the main thing. A long time ago, they used to use just medication and diet for treatment, and now with adults, they use coaching also, recommended treatment.
Well, the coaching is a very important part of treatment. I know that, you know, the meds really made a world of difference for me, but without the behavioral work and the restructuring of the belief systems and all that other stuff, the meds alone don't do it. You know, it's like we're living in a society where we think we pop a pill, it's going to solve everything. But and a lot of people with ADD are so stuck that they hope that that's all it's going to take.
Right. And it's always good to have someone on your team. Your coach is on your team. So it's nice to have someone on your side cheering you on.
Especially when the relationship you might be in may be super critical because they're so frustrated, or the family you grew up in might have ripped you to shreds all the time. Because you weren't accomplishing or achieving, or you were procrastinating and stuff. So to have someone unconditionally on your team is a very important thing.
Right, and you need like an outlet too. You know, an objective person who's there in a positive way. But it seems to work pretty good, actually. A lot of clients are having success with that. So I'm glad that they've kind of figured that out, that coaching's the way to go. And I have fun working with clients with ADD because it's just nice to see them happy when they succeed at something.
Right.
And I can take the task and break it down as small as possible for them and get them to see. A lot of people don't realize, say, for instance, you work better in the morning than you do in the evening. You know, I'm there to help them figure out when do you work best? What time of day do you work best? What kind of structure do you need set up? A lot of those questions they haven't even thought of themselves.
Right. In order to maximize the possibility for success, of course, it's great. There's one quick other thing that I know that you do a lot of work with HIV and AIDS, and I know that being diagnosed with HIV or AIDS or cancer or a lot of things also impacts people's belief systems about themselves, their sense of shame, you know, that if it's an STD or something, that they're dirty and sex is dirty and all this other stuff. But I've really seen an AIDS diagnosis and other illnesses really wreak havoc with people in terms of their sense of self and self-worth.
Right, and that's hard. It's hard to help people with self-esteem sometimes. But I just keep stressing the self-acceptance part with these clients, and I get them to see that they're lovable just the way they are and help them access the strengths that they have as people. Get them to focus on that part, and it seems to work when they know that they have talents and strengths as people, and they're human beings, and they deserve all the love and the great things that, you know, everyone else does. So, I don't know. I just really focus on them accepting and, again, self-care and loving themselves.
Great. We need to break now, and we'll be back for some final thoughts right after this break, so stay tuned.
Tell the truth faster. We'll be right back after this station break.
Stuart Altschuler, a licensed practicing psychotherapist since 1974, wants to let you know about his website at www.tellthetruthfaster.com. You will find the resources you need in these areas: self-empowerment, positive thinking, attention deficit disorder, individual and group HIV/AIDS counseling, addictions and compulsive behavior, intimacy and relationships. Get the information you need on these topics and more. Visit www.tellthetruthfaster.com. There's even a place to email Stuart with your questions, comments, and requests for information regarding his work. At www.tellthetruthfaster.com, you can find additional links for groups, organizations, and websites dedicated to help you identify and heal the issues you are experiencing. Visit www.tellthetruthfaster.com today.
Tickets are now on sale for Tony La Russa's Animal Rights Foundation's annual Stars to the Rescue benefit this Wednesday. Confirmed entertainers include Chicago, Tommy Johnston and the Doobie Brothers, Dennis DeYoung of Styx fame, and Saturday Night Live alumni Kevin Nealon. During the show, we'll be holding a premier silent auction with a wide assortment of sports memorabilia, jewelry, art, and adventures, including a limited edition Waterford Crystal Diamondbacks baseball. Also joining the festivities will be the World Series champion Arizona Diamondback team members Luis Gonzalez, Mark Grace, as well as MVP Curt Schilling. Funds raised from Stars to the Rescue benefit programs with Homeward Bound, Maricopa County Animal Care and Control Services, local no-kill shelters, and Valley Schools. Tickets are available at the Phoenix Civic Plaza box office, online at www.tickets.com, or by calling 602-262-7272. That's www.tickets.com, or call 602-262-7272.
Hi, this is Just Mike.
And this is Just Rick.
We'd like to invite you to listen to our new ultra-conservative talk show coming on Friday nights at midnight on KFNX 1100 AM. And here's a small sample of what you'll hear. This is Just Mike, and my first guest tonight will be Satan. Hi, Satan.
Whoa, what if I scratch your CDs? No, 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 make him mad. Who was that? Who was that? Who the hell was that? I didn't really mean for you to be Satan.
Out of the dark. Friday nights, midnight. Rock on.
Hi, this is Tom Likas. Tune into the next Tom Likas show, if we haven't been canceled by them. Weekdays from 4 until 8, right here on Hot Talk 1100 KFNX.
Tell the Truth Faster is back. Here's Stuart Altshuler.
Welcome back to Tell the Truth Faster. And another show is nearly over. It's hard to believe it's been 28 weeks I've been doing this show. And I want to thank Jordana Tiger for being my guest tonight.
Thank you for having me.
It's been my pleasure, and I'm sure a lot of people got a lot out of what you had to say. I remind people that if they want to get in touch with Jordana, her website is www.awesomelifecoaching.com. And they can email through her through that also. But you can also reach her through the website for this show, tellthetruthfaster.com. And you will find on there, if you've missed any shows, that most of them are now up on streaming audio. All the archive shows, is about the last 8 of them that aren't. They'll be up within the next week. So if you want to check out any shows that you've missed or hear some things that were said that you want to listen to again, I'm very excited about the fact that the website's now using streaming audio for all the past shows. So you can reach me or Jordana, actually, by going on to tellthetruthfaster.com, and there'll be a hyperlink to her site on her page on my site. So tonight's topic's been about self-esteem, and you know, let's face it, most of us have challenges with feeling good about ourselves and feeling good about who we are in the world and feeling good about what we do in the world. And it's important to ask some very rigorous, honest questions. Are you the person you really know you're here to be in the world? Are you doing what you know you're really meant to be doing here? And there are a lot of people out there that know that they're really here for a bigger purpose, to be of greater service to their community, to their families, to the world in general, and feel like, well, who am I to think that? That's not egotism. That's humility. To know that there's a purpose that you have that really is here to help the world, to help your community. It's about knowing very humbly that there's something for you to do and to ask questions, to see a therapist, to do whatever you can, to volunteer your time to an organization or to some cause of the environment or whatever. It helps feed that self-esteem issue too, because when you know you're getting up in the morning and you know that you're giving of yourself above and beyond the normal day-to-day things that you need to do, it feeds the soul. And so, to me, one of the great things that I can always suggest to people when they're trying to deal with self-esteem is give of yourself as well as receive, because there's some wonderful things that come in that. Now, Jordana mentioned another number of times the importance of taking risks. And in closing, I want to read, I don't even know who wrote this, so it's just something that I've had and I hand out to clients a lot, and it's called Risks, and it might even be from a 12-step materials. To laugh is to risk appearing the fool. To weep is to risk appearing sentimental. To reach out for another is to risk involvement. To expose feelings is to risk exposing your true self. To place your ideas, your dreams before a crowd is to risk their loss. To love is to risk not being loved in return. To live is to risk dying. To hope is to risk despair. To try is to risk failure. But risks must be taken, because the greatest hazard in life is to risk nothing. The person who risks nothing does nothing, has nothing, and is nothing. That person may avoid suffering and sorrow, but they cannot learn, feel, change, grow, love, or live. Chained by their certitudes, they are a slave. They have forfeited their freedom. Only a person who risks is free. With that being said, join us next week for Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler. Thanks for listening.
Tell the Truth Faster, hosted by Stuart Altshuler, is broadcast live every week at the same time. Thank you for listening.